Welcome to another new episode of the Dichotomy Podcast with myself, Shalina, continuing on from our amazing chats with professional organisers in the UK. Today we have Anita Forters from Anita Life. Anita is a member of APTO UK, like myself, and started her business in 2018, but it's been helping people to be organised for 15 years, which we're going to find out more about in a minute. Anita has been helping clients predominantly who are dealing with mental health difficulties, including anxiety and OCD. With mental health difficulties arising for many during this period right now with COVID, I thought it'd be a great time to discuss how organisers are helping their clients in their day-to-day life to help deal with their mental health difficulties. So hi, Anita. Welcome to the Declutter Me podcast.
Hello, and thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's lovely to talk to you. So let's get straight into it. So I always love to know how what organisers were doing before they became organisers full time. So tell me, what were you doing before?
So I was working as a primary school teacher, specialising in teaching very young children, so working in early years. And it's interesting because when you teach in early years, you focus a lot on the environment because the children are playing quite a lot of the time and you have to structure the environment so that they're learning through play.
Yeah.
So, that's obviously a link with organising, isn't it? Because you really do have to think about how you plan the environment to maximise the children's learning. So right. I've been doing that for the past 25 years, but then for the past sort of 15 years, I've also been doing some organising as well.
Oh, wow. And
sort of 2 years ago, I decided to organise full time and I set up my business properly.
Right. And so what made you do the jump, 2 years ago to become, to start Anita Life?
Well, when I moved to Norfolk in the UK, I was working as an advisory teacher, so I was working for the council, actually going out into schools, supporting teachers with their practice. Right. And then 2 years ago, I took voluntary redundancy, and that was the impetus, really, for me to actually throw myself into doing this full time. And it's been great. It was definitely the right decision.
I completely agree with that. So one of your specialities is helping clients with reactive and endogenous depression. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't intend to organise supporting people with mental health difficulties, but it just seems to have developed that way over time.
Right.
I have got a background in mental health, so going back many, many years, I worked as a psychiatric nurse, so I've got an RMN qualification, registered medical nurse, although I've not practiced as a nurse for many years because I then moved into teaching.
Yeah.
But I suppose I've got that background and I've got that understanding about different mental health conditions and
right.
how they affect people. And it just seems that over time, I have more and more clients that will say that they've got a mental health condition.
Right.
Although when you think of the prevalence, Shalina, 1 in 4 people in the UK will suffer from a mental health condition at some point in their life. So people have got, mental health issues. So it's highly likely that we're going to be working with people
that have
some kind of mental health condition, whether they choose to disclose that to us or not, of course, is entirely up to them.
Yeah, that's true. And what is this kind of depression? Because I have depression, I'm diagnosed with it, but what is this kind? Because I've never heard of it.
So depression tends to be categorised into two main areas. There's endogenous depression. Endogenous just means from within. So that's depression that doesn't have an external cause.
Right.
So they're not sure, are they, what causes depression, but they think that with endogenous depression, it's probably a mix of biological or chemical or genetic factors. factors.
Right.
Whereas with reactive depression, it's reacting to something external that's happened in your life. So you may never have suffered from depression at all, and then you might lose your job or go through a divorce or lose somebody that's very close to you, and that triggers a depression. So that's the two different types, really, endogenous and reactive.
Oh, okay. So now I've discovered I have endogenous then. After all these years, I never knew. You taught me something new today. So, and you also help people with OCD. So, I mean, the amount of times I get people saying, oh, you must have OCD because you're an organizer, which is not true. And I hate that term being used so freely by people. But you work with clients who actually are clinically diagnosed with OCD, right?
Yeah, I have done. And I'm working with two women at the moment who have got a clinical diagnosis of OCD. And it is really frustrating that there is this stereotype that with OCD, it's all about being extra clean and extra tidy. And actually, there is a category of OCD that's around symmetry and ordering and wanting things to be set in a certain place. But there are so many different types. I mean, it's basically the obsessive and the compulsive side. So people with OCD have obsessive, unwanted thoughts that are really, really, really distressing to them. And they might be thoughts about, and this is the distressing bit. Somebody who I work with has repeated unwanted thoughts about wanting to harm people. And she's the gentlest person you could ever meet. Yeah. You know, and the key thing is they do not act on those thoughts. They are very much unwanted. And then because that causes such anxiety and such distress, the compulsive bit is carrying out actions.
Right.
Repeating thoughts to try and lessen that anxiety. So, you know, the typical things are sort of checking or tapping, counting. So there might be mental compulsions like saying. So the woman that I work with, she has thoughts about hurting people, and to lessen that anxiety, she has a compulsion to say prayers.
Right.
To herself, and that, you know, that can go on for hours and hours and hours. So obviously it has a massive impact on her everyday life. And that's the key thing, isn't it? We all have varying levels of mental good or not so good health.
Yeah.
The key thing is when it becomes an illness, it's the fact that it's having a big impact on your everyday life. I think that's sort of the distinction between the two.
Yeah, no, for sure. And how do you help them then to deal with the day-to-day life when they have this compulsion? You know, if she's doing things for prayers for hours, how can you help her to get back into the day-to-day life and to get organized to do the, you know, the things she needs to do?
I mean, I think the key thing for me is remembering that OCD is an anxiety-based disorder. Any of the things that you might do to support somebody who has anxiety are going to apply. So as organisers, we know, don't we, that for some clients, they need really short sessions.
Yeah.
Just the act of decluttering and sorting and going through your belongings can trigger anxiety in people that don't have, you know, serious mental health conditions. So it's about being aware of that, keeping sessions short if that's what works for the client, making sure that you have regular breaks, and then encouraging them to do some relaxation exercises to try and lessen that anxiety as it builds up, you know. And clients will tell me, you know, they will say, well, this is what I do when I'm feeling particularly anxious. It might be going and having a sit outside in the garden for 10 minutes, or it might be spending 5 minutes stroking the cat, whatever it is that works for them. So, you know, when I work with a client and they have got a mental health issue and they tell me about that up front, I'll spend quite a lot of time talking to them about how it impacts on the daily life.
Right.
finding the strategies that work for them. And that's going to, you know, vary from person to person.
Yeah, for sure. So what are your top tips and tricks to help people to be organized, you know, when you're, especially when you're helping these kind of clients?
I think they're probably ones that have been said before by other organizers, but I think they're pretty key. So being mindful about purchases, not buying on impulse, because it all starts with the purchase, doesn't it? You know, many of our clients end up with all of this stuff that they become overwhelmed by. So much more mindful buying. If you possibly can, go away and think about it. And then if you still think that you want to purchase, then go ahead. But think about it first. Mm. And secondly, just having a place for everything. You know,
a
defined set place, because it makes it so much easier then to just... Mm. Organized in your daily life.
Yeah. And with, are you finding, you know, with these clients that you have, sorry, the sound's just not a bit funny, with the clients that you have, helping them to get organized and to declutter, do they seem to buy more when they've got anxiety and end up having more clutter, or is it, are they the same as like the regular clients that we might have?
Yeah, I mean, I think it varies very much from person to person. I mean, a couple of the clients that I've worked with that have got OCD have actually got hoarding disorder as well. Yeah. So things tend to be quite closely aligned. So then obviously there's a much bigger job. If they've got a tendency to hoard items, there's a much bigger job there in order to declutter. But I think in this current sort of time of the COVID pandemic, people are spending a lot more time at home, I find, just generally. So much more aware of their environment and much more aware of how a cluttered environment can affect them, particularly if they've already got anxiety.
Yeah.
One of the things that I like to do when I'm working with clients that have, you know, have got anxiety or depression, because they tend to spend much more time at home anyway. I mean, going back to OCD, there's quite a lot of shame and stigma, and very often they won't talk to people about the condition, especially if they're having thoughts, obsessive thoughts that they feel are not socially acceptable. So they tend to spend more time at home anyway. And then on top of that, we've been sort of confined to our homes. So I like to, when I'm organising with them, I like to try and help them to create it's just such a simple thing, especially for clients with depression, trying to find a way of creating a really lovely place for them to sit in their lounge or in a preferred room. So that they've got, because I think self-care is so important, and that is one aspect of self-care that I think is really important and is often overlooked. Just having a lovely, comfy place to sit, you know, with a little table with a couple of really favoured objects on it. It might be a couple of books or a nice vase, but it can bring such a lot of comfort to people, especially those that spend a lot of time at home.
Sure, it's very true. I mean, I have my lounge, and I brought a new coffee table because I wanted one to make myself feel better, and it's the best thing ever, because it's where I spend so much time, next to my couch and the, you know, coffee table with my cup of tea. So I can relate to that completely. This has been brilliant. How can people find out more about you and get in touch with you, especially in the UK, in your region?
Well, I've got a website. My website is called Anita Life. So that's the main way of getting in contact with me. I don't do a lot of social media. It's probably something I should do a lot more of, but tend not to. So, yeah, through my website. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much, Anita, for being on the episode. I really do appreciate it. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Declutter Me podcast. If you'd like to get some more tricks and tips and advice, please follow us on social media. We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as Declutter Me. And if you don't want to miss our next weekly episode, you can subscribe to the Declutter Me podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Gaami, and one of your favorite podcast players, if you have any. As well as YouTube. You can see my face on YouTube as well. And it will pop into your notifications each week. So see you next time. And thank you again, Anita.